Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
If you follow recruiting, this...
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? They're the thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Oh, my goodness.
Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanek with Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
What it do?
Ahoy!
What is up, brother?
Ahoy! I've returned.
You're back.
I am back from my adventure on the high seas.
Man, we missed you.
Yes.
Missed your musk.
It's a series of wiener dogs, captain hats, high seas, Jameson, fried shrimp.
Well, we do have a Blazers trade, which we'll get into, and we're on location, which we will definitely get into, but
yes,
that will be momentarily.
Suddenly a lot to get to. Why? It was a slow news day because, like, Cam Newton not getting leg room was like the biggest story today, and then the Bazemore thing.
Well, that is a big story.
That baffles.
And believe me, we'll talk about it.
That baffles me that was headline news today. Man rejects Cam Newton.
Well, look, there's not a lot going on.
No. Slow day.
But wait a minute.
Yeah.
So you were gone last week.
Yes.
In Cape Cod, Massachusetts.
You are correct, sir.
Home
I was all over the Cape.
Home of?
Rich people. Rich, pretentious people.
Okay, there is a lot of money out there.
Yes. So you fly into Boston and then, like, you know, Cape Cod, well, we were staying, I was in, like, the gay capital of the East, Provincetown.
Yeah, they say, yes,
yeah.
Provincetown.
I was, like, 20 minutes from there.
Were you a hit? You were probably a hit there.
I was Gay Pride Week, and so my hat went over very, very well. I am, I'm not going to say, like, I'm king of the gays.
Get a few offers?
But I think I'm, like, royalty. I think I'm somewhere in the hierarchy now. Oh, yeah, they love me out there.
That's fantastic.
And so it's, like, a two-hour drive from, like, when you land in Boston to make the tip of the Cape, which is where we were staying at.
Just the tip.
Just the tip. And then you can take a ferry out to, like, Martha's Vineyard and Nantucket.
Which we'll get to. But you were – the wiener dog photo?
Yeah.
We did talk about that last week.
Did it set the world on fire?
I mean, it was a smoldering – you know, I mean – it was like a cigarette you flip over to a corner. It's like, oh, that could get.
Yeah.
Now, it was you on a floaty in a pool
that
we assumed was in Massachusetts.
Yes.
But we don't know. And there was a wiener dog sitting there.
Yes.
As if a
long-haired wiener.
Yeah, it was like Gilligan and the
skipper.
The skipper. You were the skipper, and little dog was Gilligan. Whose dog was that?
I'm disappointed that I didn't have a first mate's hat, though, for the wiener dog. But I will tell you what, that Sergeant Scraps, he was a worthy companion.
Is that his name?
No, it was Oscar.
Oh.
Me and Oscar were out there on the high seas adventures. Does it really matter?
So whose dog was that?
Does it really matter? What, I can't
we're not going to announce?
I can't just have an anonymous. When you travel, you don't travel with a wiener dog? I thought everyone did. It's Cape Cod. Hello.
Playing coy on the wiener dog, the gay captain's hat. What is going on out there?
Don't worry about what I've got going on out in Cape Cod. Just know that a captain's hat was worn everywhere I went.
As it should be.
And that I had a wiener dog with me. I'm not going to say at all times, but it was a constant companion.
Well, I can't wait to hear about it because a lot of the listeners were saying that Cape Cod sucks.
Nah, Cape Cod was legit.
You liked Cape Cod.
Nantucket, not so much.
Now, Nantucket is out there where the Kennedys live.
Yeah. Well, the Kennedys have a compound on Cape Cod. You can't visit it, but you can see it. You're not allowed to get within, you know, probably 5 miles of it. But, like, it's on, like, this outcrop, and then it looks like a hotel, like a big giant resort, and that's the Kennedy compound. And I believe it's the largest American flag I've ever seen.
Mm.
It's just enormous.
And rightly so.
And that's the Kennedy compound.
A lot of S has gone down over there.
I can only imagine.
A lot.
Yes. With Ted and...
You ever think about that? Because
and like you,
the
could,
plane went down over there, right?
I'm not sure.
Close
they,
by.
They, I think he was going from either there to New York or from New York to there. So I'm not sure where along the way it crashed.
I thought it was yeah, Martha's Vineyard there.
It was out in that direction. That's all in the
same area.
Same area.
And now, is there actually a Martha and a vineyard?
That I don't know. But
you don't know this.
I do not know this. I was more the Martha's Vineyard was more of just a cruise by on the ferry. Nantucket we explored.
And that's an island?
It's an island. Both
okay.
are islands.
Okay.
And you have to take a ferry to get out there.
Okay.
That's the only way. Like, there's no bridge or anything. You just
and you didn't like it out there.
It just was a different level of money and pretentiousness, and just after a while, you're like, really? So, like, we decided we were going to go to Nantucket. So we roll in, and first off, it's $80 just to get. That's the ticket, the ferry.
It's so like, how long does that take?
Like 45 minutes to an hour, and it's
per person.
God. It's $80.
And did you have like five people with you or whatever?
Yeah, we had a group.
What do they charge wiener dogs?
Well, the wiener dog you just smuggle in. And everyone has a dog out there, by the way, first and foremost. Like, if you want a dog, just head out there. You'll get a dog.
To Nantucket?
Like, everyone had it. Like, I think, honestly, the ferry I was on was 70% dogs. Hmm. Like, you're no one out in Nantucket unless
like
you've
that.
Got a dog.
I like that.
Yeah. So it's $80 just to get out there. So I'm like, yeah, fine. You get there, $30 to park to take the ferry. So you're $110 in. Before you ever step foot on,
but that's just
Nantucket.
Single though.
Yes.
Like you're the dad,
yeah.
So you have you're Mr. Moneybags. You're only there because you're paying for everything.
It's just painful.
So you're out.
It's.
I mean,
it's obscene.
Over $300-$400 just to get out there.
Just to get out there, and then you rock up, and at that point you need a beverage, right? You're like you're just in shock, and you roll in there. Let me just say that cocktail started about $20. Yeah, and I'm not talking about like some sort of big fancy Vegas.
So
drink.
Nantucket is just like rich people playland, right?
Yes.
Like that's where
yes.
they all go.
That's
to,
where they all go.
To like vacation and
yes.
stuff.
That's like no one, very few people live there year round. Like the ferry that we were on, because this was like the season didn't start until like next week. This was the kind of the opening of the island. Like stores were just opening, art galleries were just opening because it shuts down during the winter. Like there's nothing open. And then the summertime hits and everything gets opened up. So there were a lot of workers that were on their way out there, and we were talking to them like, yeah, we go out here for a couple months, they work, and then they head back to Boston or wherever they're from. Huh. So it was like you roll out there and just everything is obscenely priced. So my
well, that's why they don't want your kind out there.
No.
You're
no,
not rich enough for
no.
They see you over there, and
they
probably put out the extra pricey menu. Like, here, hand him the big one. That way he'll leave.
It's just, like, everything. And, like, after a while, after, like, an hour, you're just punch drunk. You're like, what? What's happening here? Just everything there. There's nothing that's – I'm not even talking about a bargain. There's just nothing on that entire island that is even, like
– So what do you do?
Reasonably priced.
What do you just, like
– You just walk around, and then you're offended by things, and then you eat, and you spend too much money on small portions of food.
So you take a $110 ferry ride
– Yes.
– over there
yes.
to eat and drink and then come back?
Pretty much, and then not be able to afford to buy anything. My favorite – this encapsulates the Nantucket experience. I was over there with the special lady friend. And she walked into a store, right? Just like a clothing store. Didn't look like anything like super fancy. Just a clothing store, and there was a T-shirt that was like on the sale rack. And I guess the Nantucket, like the code for it, like I guess the port is it's like AKC or was it ACK, whatever. Like that's like the abbreviation for Nantucket.
Okay.
And it was just a white T-shirt, had those three letters on it. That was it. Seemed you know it was a T-shirt. It was like, oh, that's kind of cool.
Yes, but was it a fancy T-shirt?
No, just T-shirt. Looked at it, not the softest T-shirt, but not the worst. Just a normal, if you saw this T-shirt, someone was wearing it around, you wouldn't look twice at it. You might be like, hey, what are those three letters? And someone would say, oh, that's Nantucket. And it was on the sale rack. So she went in there with the idea of, well, this could be something that you're going to buy. You got to go to Nantucket, buy a souvenir, right? And there's no price tag on it, which should have been number one warning sign.
Yeah, you got to ask.
Got to ask. So he asked the lady. And again.
And don't they, at places like this, don't they kind of roll with the idea that if you have to ask, you can't afford it?
Probably.
Like you're supposed to just take it up there, put it down, and then put your credit card on top of it and say, I will have this. I don't care what it costs.
I think that's the way it works.
That's Nantucket.
That's Nantucket. We asked, hey, how much is this? Because again, on the sale rack, and the lady goes just like this. Well, I don't know, but I know it's on sale. Let me go look for you. So I'm thinking, all right, we'll see what happens here. Comes back. Now, granted, Sale price, $238.
Damn. For a t-shirt?
For a t-shirt.
So you bought it?
No. No. That's the embarrassing, like...
You had to put it back?
Yeah.
With the walk of shame?
It's the walk of shame. There's just a lot... And, like, that was, like, lesson learned. I didn't ask about anything else the entire time I was there. I played, like, a game of soccer. I told everyone else, don't touch anything, because we're not breaking it, because we sure as hell can't afford to buy it. Look at it, and then just... keep walking.
So did you guys go to Chili's out on Nantucket? Save a few shekels?
There is no Chili's. I paid for the world's most expensive wow. calamari.
Yeah, I bet. How much? $45?
Something like that, and it's like six small pieces. And it was one of these, too. Like, you look at the menu, and you see the sea scallops, like $60-$70. How many does that come with? Three. Are those, like, giant? No, just...
With a nice, like...
Yeah.
It's one of those where, like, the chef, there's really no food on it.
No.
But it looks great.
Yes.
For a photo.
Yes.
Like, it has, like, a drizzle on
yes.
the side and, like, flare.
Two of the people that we were with were vegan. And so the restaurant had a vegan option, which everyone was pretty excited about. That'd be $40 for a plate of vegetables. They had six little small
yes.
sections of...
Yes. But they're Nantucket vegetables.
They are Nantucket vegetables. I honestly at one point wanted to drop this. Now, that's just like, and it wasn't like a salad. It was just individual vegetables, like a little pile of carrots.
Hey.
Little pile of spinach.
Brother man.
Little pile of onions.
The Kennedys don't eat normal onions.
No.
All right.
No.
So you want to eat like the Kennedys.
Yes.
You're paying the freight.
So it certainly was, that was Nantucket just in general. So I guess to say that you've been to Nantucket, you've experienced it, sure, but... Mm. If you're going out there, just stick to Cape Cod and then say that you went to Nantucket and save yourself the $110 to get over there.
Well, there's a lot of money out that way, man. There's a lot of money that out that way, a lot of yachts.
It's obscene.
And that's where they all go.
Yeah.
That and what's...
Hamptons.
The Hamptons, yeah.
Yep.
And that's, I think, even richer, isn't it?
I'm not sure which one is more, but I know that's the hoity-toity area. In fact, when you pull in on the ferry... all the yachts are just kind of lined up there, and you can look up who owns the yachts because they've got the names
on
them right there.
Because they want you to know.
They want you to know. So we looked it up. One of the CEO of Toyota, his yacht was there. Vice president of AT&T's yacht was there. The biggest one was some hedge fund manager whose assets were 200. Like, he managed a hedge fund that was like $175-$200 billion in some sort of hedge fund that he run. He had the biggest one there. I was like, whose is that? And I never heard of the guy. And we looked up.
All
like,
old rich white guys, you would never know who they are.
Yeah.
Unless you had to look up their yachts.
Yeah. It is just,
which is the way they want it.
It was a whole thing, man.
A lot of popped collars. I see a lot of, I picture a lot of sweaters around the neck.
White pants.
Yes.
You're no one if you're not wearing a pair of white pants.
Boat shoes.
I had a pair of gray shoes on, or a gray pair of like shorts on, and then just some like white Nikes, and it was not working.
And what about the bros, like the rich guys' kids
that are
running amok out
you
there?
You have no idea. So when
that take Nantucket for granted.
When we were leaving the island to go, so this is like night, and we were getting back on the ferry to go back to Normalville, there was some sort of shindig, a gala event, a soiree, if you will, at the end of the pier. Mm-hmm. They had like a big tent set up or whatever. I promise you that a bigger group of douches that was the greatest gathering of the douches. It was like the running of the douches. They were all there. I don't know what it was. I'm not sure if it was a wedding. I don't know if it was like a kickoff the season party, but there was
the running of the douches. I love this idea.
No one was over 40, right? It was mostly 20 somethings. You could tell some people that were in their 30s. Holy crap. You just looked at it and every single one of them was insufferable before you ever said a word to them. And they were all walking by the ferry to get to the end of the pier there where they could talk to everybody. And let's just say that some of the conversation you heard, you're just like, wow. Wow.
It's a whole nother.
It's
a whole nother ballgame, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just a different stratosphere. And like, for whatever reason, they were carrying oars. And I don't know why, but a lot of the dudes, picture the douchiest East Coast guy you can think of, tight white pants, no socks, boat shoes. Everyone had a blazer that was three sizes too small popped collar underneath the blazer.
Yep.
And then they all had decorative oars.
Lots of pastels.
And
the oars are like the frat paddles.
It's possible.
Type thing.
I don't know. But they all had oars, and it threw me for a loop. I didn't know what to make of the oars, but
that might be the gay pride theme.
Nah, that was a whole other thing.
Oh.
That was That's a whole – like, that's for the club. But let me tell you, that's a scene.
Oh, I can't wait to hear about it.
You go to Provincetown, that's a scene.
That's what they say.
During Pride Week, too.
Yeah.
That's a whole –
yeah, right.
That's a whole scene, man.
It's where they gather.
Yes.
Glad you were there for that. Well, a lot of people are asking if you just walked around with your – $1,000 leather bag around your shoulder, maybe you could fit right in.
No, they would have laughed my leather bag, because the leather bag did make the trip. It makes the
trip.
Well, yeah, everywhere.
That's what it's for.
They would have mocked.
It's like the only time you get to use it.
They would have mocked my leather bag. It would have been shunned and then thrown off the boat.
They would have shown you up with their $30,000 leather bag.
Dude, that's... I don't even want to know how much the leather bags cost out there.
Hey,
if t-shirts are going for $238 on sale, I don't want to know what bags are.
Well, for a week... You lived a good life in Cod and Nantucket. Yeah, yeah. And
Cape Cod wasn't that bad. Cape Cod was more, you know, a lot of vacation.
A little more everyman.
Well, a lot of vacation rentals. That's what we had. We had like an Airbnb. And,
well, that's great.
Yeah, it was more, way more normal. Nantucket was like a different.
Well, we got to get to rolling here.
Yeah.
We got to get to going.
We got to get to going.
It is Big Sook, Jason Sukanik, back on 1080 The Fan after visiting Cape Cod last week. We're happy to have you back now. We've got a lot going on.
Yeah.
Because we're out at the Cooney Lexus of Portland Fan Golf Classic at Langdon Farms, which also deserves a cheer.
I thought we were on to something. When I came out here, I was like, oh, yeah, golf tournament. They don't just come out here for no reason.
No.
That would be awkward.
And there are Lexuses everywhere.
Yes. Yes, there is.
So
you're the proud owner of a Lexus.
I am. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I drive a Lexus. My mom, Rod. It's pretty badass.
It's tasty. With a tape player?
That's my favorite
part about your Lexus. You have a Lexus SUV, and there's a tape deck.
I'm driving my wife's old Lexus RX 350, and it is most definitely like a soccer mom, because it's so old. It's like 2007.
Yeah.
It's like, and it's got a tape deck. It's a soccer mom hot rod, man.
My first time we ever
and
got
I love
in,
it.
We got in that. We were going up to play Chambers Bay.
You know
Bay,
why I love it? Because it's paid off.
It was the first time I had ever been in that thing. And that was, I just looked down and was like, what? Tape deck.
But the leather is really nice. It's luxury.
You can play mixtape.
I should take it to Nantucket.
Your awesome mixtape. Yeah, it would play well.
Fit
there.
Right in. Well, anyway, it's the Cooney Lexus of Portland Fan Golf Classic. We come out here every year to be with our listeners who golf it up out at beautiful Langdon Farms, which could not be in better shape. We're down here just off of I-5 in Wilsonville. If you are looking for your next place to golf, you haven't been to Langdon Farms, give these guys a call. It's where I play. Best course in town. So the second of two shotguns out there right now, and among them is celebrity superstar Blazers reporter Jason Quick.
Yeah, so we're going to try to rope him in if he's sober. Well,
no, not at all. If he's drunk, we'll try to rope him in.
Oh, I see how
sober
it is.
Quick, we want nothing to do with. Although we do have Blazer news today, so we'll try to get him. Actually, I've already talked to him about it. He said he would love to come when they're done golfing.
Yeah, I'll swing by.
He'll swing by, and so we'll get Jason Quick.
Yeah, he had a pelican in hand when I saw him.
Oh, yeah, so. they I can smell it.
Yeah.
I went over there and saw their foursome. They were on 16. They were only five holes in because they started on 11.
Yeah.
And I could smell the booze. I'm like, oh, this is going to be fun.
I'm pretty excited
later.
About it. Yeah.
And so he'll be by. But the morning crew has already come and gone. There's an afternoon shotgun that's out there right now. And then tomorrow morning we have a lot of our clients and special dignitaries playing. And then tomorrow afternoon there's another listener round.
Yes.
So this is a big event, and we really appreciate Langdon Farms hosting this for us. We wouldn't want to do it anywhere else, and they're great partners. So it is off and rolling. And you and I will be doing our show out here today and tomorrow. And the most common question is, when do you play? And the answer is, we don't.
No, the boss does not let us do that.
No. We are shackled to the
to the
airwaves.
Look at him over there with no love whatsoever.
Look at him. Yeah, he didn't even play. He said he hurt his neck lifting massive quantities of weights at the gym.
I think he was gardening. I think he was digging.
No, he said both.
He was digging some tulips.
Yeah. Although I will say that yard work definitely can make you sore, because it's like – it's muscles. It's like things you don't normally do.
Yeah.
Like squatting a lot, or, you know, bending over a lot.
Especially if you're not very active.
Unless you go to Nantucket or what's it called?
Provincetown.
Well, anyway, we got to get to going. We have a Blazers trade.
Yes.
They have made a trade. And I think maybe many of you will like it. And we will talk about it next on The Fan.
You're listening to Primetime with Isaac and Sue as Cooney Lexus of Portland presents the 7th Annual Fan Golf Classic at Langdon Farms Golf Club. Brought to you by Pelican Brewing, Stark Street Lawn and Garden, by Washman Car Wash, Rebel Yell Bourbon, and by Big Fat Wieners. Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
All right, it is 3:22. Ran a little long in the first segment, but we had a lot to get in. Big Sook is back. We're out at Langdon Farms, where it could not be a nicer course or a nicer day.
No, now, we've talked about this. Is this our 7th or 8th? What is the...
12th.
7th. This is our 7th.
17th.
The boss is holding up a 5 and a 2, so yeah, unless it's our 52nd.
I think they're wrong about that. They say that we do this every year. You guys... Nobody keeps track, and everybody always gets fired. So the next year, there's a new person that comes in that has no idea what we did the year before. And so then it's like, oh, I think this – I'm just going to say it. This is our 15th annual.
Sure, let's
and
do that.
And nobody will – it's like Trump.
No,
like
no
nobody
knows.
Will –
No, you just throw something
nobody
out
questions
there.
It. I'm a billionaire.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Treat me like one.
Now, this is by far the best weather we've ever had, because a lot of the years we've been out here – look, I don't complain about the heat. I like the heat, but it has been hot. More often than not, we've been out here. We've been in the high 80s, and a couple times we've been in the 90s.
Yes.
This is like what? Like 68, 72, somewhere in there, a light breeze?
It's. I'm going to say it's 72 degrees.
This is perfect.
It's great. Yeah.
It's amazing out
yeah,
here.
Yeah, it really is. And I was told, I was reminded that last year it was really nice out here too, but I seem to remember it being hot, so I don't know. They all blend together. Like
yeah.
You and I have been here for all of them.
Yes.
But all 15 of them.
And I remember plenty of times being underneath because they put out the little... like a promotions tent. There's been some years where underneath the tent, it's been quite sweltering.
Yep.
There's been a lot of sweat. And I'll tell you right now, I got nothing. Just a cool breeze.
Great day. Great day at the Fan Golf Classic. So, okay, yeah, we do have a Blazers trade we got to get to. They landed Kent Bazemore from the Atlanta Hawks today. And in exchange, they deal Evan Turner away. So if you liked Evan Turner... you might not like this deal,
well,
but I don't know anyone that did.
Well,
so.
Like here's my thing about Evan Turner.
Like literally anyone.
No, but Evan Turner, none of this is Evan Turner's fault. Like this is a well, it wasn't a trade. It was a signing that I hold no ill will whatsoever towards Evan Turner. Evan Turner was, by all accounts, he's a great guy. He's an unbelievable teammate. Everyone loves him. He plays his ass off, whether he was getting 25 minutes a night or when it was a DNP, which did happen, where you know he didn't fit. He never said boo about it, and that guy was the consummate pro. He just didn't fit. That was a bad signing, but it's not Evan Turner's fault. If someone offers you $18 million a year for 4 years, we act as if somehow Evan Turner should be like, you know what, guys, I just can't take
well,
that.
No, wait a minute. Nobody's blaming Evan Turner, but you got to admit, when he got out there, dude, his game.
It did not fit.
Oh, my God.
It did fit.
If I never see him try to shoot ever again,
yeah.
I will be a happy man.
And so to me.
But you're right. He was a bad fit.
That was a bad signing.
But
that's not Evan
Turner. He did, to his credit. No, nobody's saying it's his fault. It's just that you didn't like him as a player. He didn't fit with the Blazers. It's like, ah, and he's making like $17 million. It's like, it's not his fault, but that's his game, and it doesn't work.
No.
But he did come into into a few playoff games and make some big plays.
Sure.
He certainly understood how to help the team as best he could, and I think that's huge because you don't often get that with guys. There are a lot of NBA players that are hard-headed and say, well, I need to get my – points and my rebounds or this or that. Turner was a team player.
I don't think you beat Denver.
And it could have been worse in that regard.
I don't think you beat Denver without him.
No, he was really good.
You know, and
he's
not,
a veteran.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that that's worth the money he was making. But again, I do not think you get past the Denver Nuggets without Evan Turner. Now, the move makes total sense. I don't know how anyone couldn't be on board with this. You traded for a better version of Evan Turner.
Yeah, Kent Bazemore is who they got. And Bazemore's a shooter. I've always liked his game. I don't know about you, but he's always just been a nice player when you watch him from afar. And it's about a cap neutral trade for the Blazers, meaning I think he makes what, like a million more?
Yeah,
or something.
It's $1 million more or something.
Yeah, so he's gonna fit better than Evan Turner because he can shoot to go along with Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. But at the same time, there probably is that other element of this, if we're being fair, that a lot of people wanted to see the Evan Turner contract shed to open up cap space eventually. You'd have to shed more contracts than just Evan Turner's, but this would be a start to opening up a bunch of cap room to maybe sign a more impactful free agent, if not, they probably couldn't do that this year Maybe if they were able to trade enough contracts. But maybe next offseason too. But that won't happen. It's another, as somebody put it, it's another really strong, hard-hit single to right field by Neil O'Shea.
Yeah, well, and it's an insurance policy. Well, it's not an insurance policy because it's you're not keeping him. Rodney Hood's gone. So, you know, with no Rodney Hood and no Seth Curry, both those guys are leaving, Cantor as well. You don't have the money to sign into those. All you have is the mid-level. So, you know, bringing in a guy like Kent Bazemore for basically the same money on the same deal that Evan Turner was making, both have a year left, so they're both expiring contracts. To me, you just traded a guy that didn't really fit into what you wanted for this team for a better version of him. He's a guy that can play defense. He can't handle the ball as well, obviously, as Evan Turner, but I was talking to Quick, and he thinks they're just going to turn that over to Anfernee Simons, that they're really high on him, and he's going to play 25 minutes a night. So, you know, he'll take up that role, and Bazemore's a guy that can still play defense long and rangy, and is a guy that can shoot from outside. And, you know, with Evan Turner, you know, it was a non-factor. You did not have to guard him. But to your point, Evan Turner knew that. Evan Turner wouldn't shoot. You know, I love the fact that Evan Turner realized that, you know, hey, it's the shot's not working right now, and, you know, I'm not going to sit there and force the issue. But, you know, Bazemore, I think it was a career, what, 35, 36, and 2 years ago, he was shooting 39%. Now, I like this. I think this is kind of what, to be honest with you, this is what Neil has done, the GM bro has done over his career, is just these sorts of things.
Well, it's they're incrementally better.
Yes.
I mean, he's a better fit. So you swap the contracts out, take this guy, and...
But we knew that in everyone, I heard some people today that were being kind of negative, being like, well, I want the big splash. The big splash can only come via a trade, right? It's not going to happen. And I think that you're more likely to get that if there is going to be a big swinge, as Mike Lynch would say.
The big splash only will come via trade right now.
Yes.
But if they are able to shed enough contracts, starting with Evan Turner's, they can open up enough cap space down the road.
Sure, sure.
But what Neil O'Shea is saying right now, this is a good indicator that Neil O'Shea is saying, hey, we just made the Western Conference Finals.
Yep.
Yes, we could shed some we could go thinner and go and rely more on rookies, but we're not going to. We need some shooters, we need some proven guys who are gonna help us stay near the top of the West.
Well, and because the West right now feels like it's anyone's game, we'll have to see what happens in free agency, what happens with Kawhi and Jimmy Butler and all that. But you made the Western Conference Finals. Obviously the team that beat you, no one thinks is going to be in the Western Conference Finals. So, you know, there's a real opportunity, and I still think that the big moment will come at the trade deadline or near the trade deadline to see if you can try to make something happen. So, you know, this free agency period, you're going to get someone in the mid-level, you're going to keep trying to hit singles, and then I think, you know, if you do see a big splash, it'll come, you know, middle of the season.
All right, text the Better You Today text line 55305. I'm sure Kent Bazemore gets everyone's sports pants really super tight. Tell us what you think. 55305. We'll get to a few of those. And we've also got some other juicy NBA rumors. Kevin Durant is upset with the Warriors. Kawhi Leonard may indeed go back to Toronto.
Yep.
And there's also a story out of, well, it's off of Reddit. And it is about a Lakers insider who is spilling the beans on a lot of Lakers inside info on Reddit, and no one's noticing it.
No.
And some of it is pretty juicy.
They're like the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. It's fantastic.
So I'll tease it by saying this. This guy has revealed, now, again, it could all be total BS, but a lot of it makes sense, and it's not, I don't know, I think when you read it, You don't get the sense that this guy is just some schmuck full of crap.
Yeah.
There appears to be a real inside look at the Lakers with this guy. And I'll tease it by saying this. Wait till you hear who is actually running the Lakers. There are two names that never get mentioned in the media that are actually in charge based on their relationship with Jeannie Buss. So we'll get to that coming up as well. It is 3:31. Here's Mike with SportsCenter.
You're listening to Primetime with Isaac and Sue as Cooney Lexus of Portland presents the 7th Annual Fan Golf Classic at Langdon Farms Golf Club. Brought to you by Pelican Brewing, Stark Street Lawn and Garden, by Washman Car Wash, Rebel Yell Bourbon, and by Big Fat Wieners. Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
All right, the Blazers get Kent Bazemore for Evan Turner in a trade today. Kent Bazemore is 29 years old. He has been in the league now for, looks like, What's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years. 11.5 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists last year in Atlanta, played 67 games, started 35, shot 32% from three last year, so not very good there.
But the year before, I think he shot 39%.
Yeah, he was 39. So his career shooting percentage, 35. He's a good shooter. I mean, you've all seen him play. I like the move because he's just a better fit
yep.
than Evan Turner with the Blazers. So you can text the Better You Today text line 55305.
I remember when he was on like the year that the Lakers were just like warmed over garbage, right? When they were just like the baby Lakers. I remember Bazemore being a guy that you'd watch them play. You're like, who the hell is this guy?
He can get hot.
Bazemore is good. I like this. And again, you've seen these sort of role players really flourish in, I think Terry Stotts does a great job with it. I think the culture here that Dame and CJ and Stotts have created to kind of empower guys, I don't know, I'm excited. I think this is a really solid move. I'm with you. I think this is a hard single to ride, but I think Bazemore's got a chance to maybe stretch this into a double. And you saw like the impact that Rodney Hood had, not necessarily in the regular season, but in the postseason. And I think that's what you're hoping here is that he can be a more consistent version of Rodney Hood.
Well, Hood is a better three-point shooter if you look just statistically throughout their careers.
Yeah.
He shoots about almost 37%, but I think you're getting pretty much the same type
yeah.
of player. I mean, what Rodney Hood did for you is exactly what they're going to ask Kent Bazemore to do for you, and that's yeah, and then no Evan Turner. So that's
yeah.
if you'll make that trade, I think most people would.
And it sounds like, you know, the whole Evan Turner bringing the ball up, again, talking to Quick, it sounds like that's going to be Anfernee Simons, that they're going to dump that on him, and he is going to. So Bazemore replaces Evan Turner slash Rodney Hood, although you'll still use the mid-level, and we'll see if that's, you know, used to go out and get another guard or if you get someone in the front court because you don't know what's happening with Nurkic, but you still have the mid-level. And then Simons plays the role of Seth Curry and Evan Turner, and Bazemore plays the role of Evan Turner slash Rodney Hood.
A couple of texts here from you. In my gut, just knew Olshay would eventually not go for someone. Oh, I'm sorry. In my gut, just knew Olshay would eventually go for someone beside Griffin, Love, or Jimmy Butler. Probably be good, but unpredictable additions. Another one says, we're really going to miss all those triple-doubles from Evan Turner.
Well, and for the idea that, like, the Kevin Love and Jimmy Butler stuff, I mean, my God, people, you traded Evan Turner for Kent Bazemore. You're not going to trade Evan Turner for any of those guys that you just mentioned. If you're talking about bringing in one of them, you're talking about a much bigger deal where you're probably having to include, one, future first-round picks, and then probably, like, a Zach Collins or a young asset to go along with that. You're not... And by the way, Jimmy Butler isn't – you can't trade for him. Jimmy Butler's a free agent. So Jimmy Butler isn't signing here. One, he's not coming to Portland on his own. And two, you don't have any cap space. So I think I get some of the overall frustration from Blazer fan that this isn't what you wanted. You wanted to have the big splash. But let's also be realistic about the options that you had and what you had to work with. Now you can blame them and say that you put them or they put themselves in the situation. No one's going to argue that, but this notion that Kevin Love or Jimmy Butler are just out there to be plucked, that's ridiculous.
A couple of other texts. Who now has the weirdest voice on the Blazers now that Evan Turner is gone?
It's a good question. I don't know, but I will tell you this. The my favorite thing involving the Evan Turner trade is I really like Myers Leonard. I do. I think he's a good guy. But I love the Myers Leonard flex pose. Like at any given time, Myers Leonard is shirtless or he's flexing or.
Well, yeah, he's the hammer.
He is the hammer. Do you follow him on Twitter?
No.
He's a great follower.
Well, maybe I do.
He's,
I don't know.
He's fantastic. Look, and he tweeted out a photo, like a congratulatory photo of like Evan Turner, and it might have been after one of the playoff games, and Evan Turner played a big role in it, and it's Evan Turner from behind, and then it's everyone kind of celebrating, jumping around him, and it is Myers Leonard shirtless in some sort of Karate Kid Part 3 Johnny full body flex, abs ripped, just arm, he's an Adonis. He looks like Drago from Rocky 4, but I love that of all the photos to send out to congratulate Evan Turner, you just happen to send a photo where Evan Turner's kind of in the background and your body is front and center. I love it. It was my favorite part about
yeah,
the Evan Turner.
I see Turner. That here. Although that photo, I believe, comes from Evan Turner's Instagram.
Does it?
Yes, because somebody said, "Hey, look at Evan Turner's Instagram," which I don't. I went to look that up, and that was the photo that Evan Turner posted. But yes, you're.
If I showed you that photo and said, "Who is that photo of?" You sure as hell would say Evan Turner. You're like, my God, Myers Leonard.
Well, but you know, all the white guys are kind of crowding around Evan Turner, like looking. It does look like Turner's the focus of the photo. He's just got his back.
Look, that photo is a lot turned. About Myers Leonard and his abs. And he looks amazing. Don't get me wrong.
I don't follow him. And you know what? I don't. Should I hit follow?
I enjoy it. And I think Myers Leonard is a fun guy. And I know some people kind of, you know, well, we love to beat on him. But I think he works real hard. And I don't mind the shirtless, the hammer stuff. I don't know if it's tongue-in-cheek or if he's being serious about any of it, but I just thoroughly enjoyed it. So thank you, Myers Leonard, for that that great reposting, I guess, of the Evan Turner Instagram photo.
And for those asking how many years left on Bazemore's deal.
One.
1 year.
Same thing.
Yeah.
So is it Evan Turner had an expiring contract, Bazemore has an expiring contract. Look. Although I did see I'll look into it a little bit further, but I saw someone had mentioned that you can't turn around and trade the Bazemore contract now. That can't be part of a larger deal. Like you have to sit on that one for a while in order to, you can't just trade for it and then trade it again.
So a couple more texts. P1 Dustin, now we just need to trade Myles Leonard for a ham sandwich. People forget the big splash is already here. His name is Damian Lillard. Build a championship team around him. Well, that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
RJ says, add Turner to the list of people Olshay has run out of town. Plumlee, Barton, Ropp. Wait, I'm still here.
Yeah, you're here.
I haven't been run out yet.
You just got run off of TV, that's all.
Yeah. I was mostly thinking of the past talk for Kevin Love and Blake Griffin trades being in the media last week. There was a lot of Love, Kevin Love sort of scuttlebutt last week. But
And I, like I said, I brought up the Blake Griffin
thing. I don't think Neil Olshay likes Kevin Love as a fit for this team all that much.
And it's a huge deal. It's a huge contract. I just am.
Yeah, he's got 3 years left.
Yeah. And he's had some injury problems.
Well.
Does he play defense? I'm just on board with the idea of you look at the window that you have, the great Jason Quick.
Yeah, I don't. Lefties do rule, sir. I'm not sure they're supposed to be up here.
No, I don't think they are. I don't think that's where the cards go, but are you going to tell him no?
Well, Quick's got his cigar over there. Yeah. He's got his beers.
He's doing fine.
They're doing great.
I honestly think, though, because, you know, everyone keeps saying, well, just, you know, kind of give it time, and they've done a great job of letting this team grow and mature. But I think you've got a window here over the next 2 years. This may be the best opportunity you have to try to take a big swing at winning a title. Because think about this. In what happens with Kevin Durant and Golden State, we'll see. But Golden State will eventually rebound, right? If Kevin Durant leaves or Klay Thompson, you know, comes back, they're going to return from that injury. If Durant leaves, they'll have money to go after someone else. You know, Kawhi Leonard, and does that happen going over? L.A. is going to get built up over the next year or two. Like, there is an opportunity. Milwaukee might continue to get better, or Philadelphia. I think you've got a window right now over the next 2 years where the NBA is in a little bit of flux. And I just don't know if you're going to get a better chance to be a good group of guys that plays hard together that might be able to surprise some people and pull a Dallas Mavericks. And so that's mine.
You may be right, but I think a lot of people are saying, well, Kent Bazemore doesn't do that.
No, it doesn't. But I don't necessarily think that the – I think the deal that's out there that maybe puts you over the top, I think that's going to be one of those you're just going to have to wait for the exact moment and be ready to strike. And I have to believe that they're thinking that. But it's not just going to – I don't know. It's not just going to present itself to you.
Well, the thing about this that's really hard about these discussions is we don't know what else is out there.
No.
Like, you only know of the deals that they do. So if I were to tell you, as Neil Olshay likes to say, in a vacuum, that you would be able to trade Evan Turner and get Kent Bazemore in return, contracts are pretty much a wash. Only 1 year left on Bazemore, so not a huge commitment. Would you take that?
Yes.
So would I. But this is the problem with these conversations. Is you don't know what else
you could have
the Blazers could have turned Evan Turner's contract and draft picks and somebody else into as an alternative.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to know. But, again, prudent move. Neil Olshay, I mean, clearly knows what he's doing.
Yep.
He knows he's a good scout. And Kent Bazemore is like there is just no sort of downside to this move.
No.
To me at all.
No. Nope.
Because he's a year removed from being a free agent. If it doesn't work out or he's a bitch or whatever,
he walks.
You move on. And Evan Turner wasn't really working anyway. Another interesting point is somebody brought up that the Hawks now have both Evan Turner and Allen Crabbe, two of those big mistake contracts of that famous free agent.
But remember, the Hawks took Allen Crabbe because they got a one back for it, right? They for absorbing that contract.
Yeah, this is the time. That's what's happening is these teams. Somebody asked, why would Atlanta do this deal? Well, because they don't care about Kent Bazemore or Evan Turner.
No.
They just want that money off its books in a year.
So when you look at Portland, the big deal to me that could come is not going to be Evan Turner for insert player here. It's going to be an expiring contract of Myers Leonard, maybe an expiring contract for Mo Harkless, a Zach Collins, and a one. That's the sort of thing that you're going to have to do to then try to go out and get an all-star level player. And I know that some people say, well, you know, is that a lot to give up? Well, it is. But I think the window over the next 2 years is presenting itself where this thing, for the first time in years, actually feels like it's up for grabs. That it could be realistic that Portland says, hey, you go out and make a move, you're right there. And I think that's the sort of thing that everyone's hoping for. But again, I think that is going to be a specific time and place, and hopefully they've got the guts to pull the trigger if it presents itself.
Well, we talked about this a lot last week. I don't know if it is up for grabs. When the Lakers get Anthony Davis, we'll see what else they put around LeBron and Anthony,
yeah.
And then if Kawhi Leonard goes to the Clippers.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
You know, I don't think this thing really is up for grabs unless you make a more splashy move, but we'll give them time to do that. The other thing, too, is I can't remember what else I was going to mention. So let's move on from Bazemore, okay?
Yeah.
Look, Kent Bazemore is only going to get two segments.
Yes.
He does not need more than two.
No, he does not.
All right. So nice little player, great little player.
Yeah.
Evan Turner's gone, and we'll see what happens next year, but Bazemore's going to generally replace Rodney Hood, who most likely will not be back. So we'll get more on this with Jason Quick when he comes by a little bit later with Cigar Breath. But Kevin Durant may be mad at the Warriors.
Maybe.
That's the new report.
Yeah.
We'll get to that next on The Fan.
You're listening to Primetime with Isaac and Sue as Cooney Lexus of Portland presents the 7th Annual Fan Golf Classic at Langdon Farms Golf Club. Brought to you by Pelican Brewing, Stark Street Lawn and Garden, by Washman Car Wash, Rebel Yell Bourbon, and by Big Fat Wieners. Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
It's a beautiful day out here at Langdon Farms for day one of the Cooney Lexus of Portland Fan Golf Classic, 15th annual. Coming up next hour, we have our stock watch, what we're buying and selling from the weekend in sports. We will also discuss a little baseball. I don't know if you've ever seen fans give an ovation to opposing players quite like we saw in St. Louis.
That was really cool. And can we please avoid the dumpster fire that is the New York Mets?
No, it's on my list.
Oh, great.
Sorry.
I'll F you up, man.
You're going to have to tell us who Mickey Callaway is.
It's the most Metsy thing that the Mets can possibly do.
And then what Mickey Callaway did.
Yeah.
So that's coming up, but we are talking about the Blazers, one, trading for Kent Bazemore today. If you're just tuning in, they traded Evan Turner for Kent Bazemore. Contract's a bit of a wash, better shooter, filling the Rodney Hood role. But around the NBA, there's a lot of stuff, you know, it's just reports.
Sure.
Like, nobody knows anything.
No.
Except that I do feel like in the NBA, there are, I think a lot of stuff gets leaked in the NBA.
Yes.
Like, if you're on the inside, and there are a lot of insiders that report this stuff, they're generally onto something when they're talking about what players and free agents are going to do before free agency.
Well, so much of this is run through agencies now, right? I mean, whether it's the Clutch Sports, that was the Sports Illustrated had that on their cover, a week or so ago, talking about how he's changing the way it's run. And basically the whole point of the article was, now that contracts are basically uniform, right? These max contracts and everything's kind of slotted in, that it's no longer about who has the most money, because, you know, your contract is just it's kind of there. And now it is more about control, and it's more about, you know, marketing opportunities and what you can do. And so much of the stuff is run not just by agents but by sports marketing firms. And when you get that many hands in the pie or cooks in the kitchen, you're not going to keep that information quiet. All this stuff is leaked out because there's so many people involved in negotiations to figure out, okay, who's going here, who's playing where. And it's just it's impossible to keep this stuff under wraps. Even a guy like Kawhi Leonard that keeps a really low profile, there's some stuff out there about Kawhi Leonard involving New Balance and some marketing opportunities and what role that could play in deciding whether or not he goes somewhere else.
A lot of leaks.
Yes.
Now, the latest on Kevin Durant is a report that says that he is pissed at the Warriors over his Achilles injury, yeah, and he will leave in free agency, which the leaving in free agency part doesn't surprise anyone.
No.
Because I think it sounded like he was probably out the door anyway. But then there's also another report separate of the one I just mentioned that has him and Kyrie Irving having met twice to talk about where they may take their talents.
Yeah, because there was always a talk that those two would be ones that would team up, because both of them supposedly wanted to play in New York, and that I think it was Kyrie that, if I remember correctly, that was open to the idea of playing in Brooklyn, but the Durant wasn't really Brooklyn-based. He wanted the Knicks, and if not the Knicks, then, you know, maybe sticking with Golden State. So that may be a case of Kyrie Irving trying to convince him that Brooklyn is a viable option. Or if you're Kyrie, obviously you know that if you go somewhere with Kevin Durant, you're basically going to have to wait a year and then hope that you get the old Kevin Durant back.
My apologies. That is the same report. That's Bleacher Report, Rick Bucher. And I have a – can I – okay, side topic.
Sure.
Squirrel, I have a Bleacher Report issue.
Okay.
That we're going to need to talk about at some point today or tomorrow.
That we can discuss.
Yeah, because you know how they do on internet, they will – everybody stopped clicking on the stories where it's like, here are the top, like I saw one today, here are the top ring chasers for the 2019 offseason.
Okay.
Which I thought was a great list.
Sure. People that are just
that are going to probably join the Lakers, yeah, or go wherever Kawhi goes, yeah, or whatever. The top names on there were Carmelo, Jamal Crawford, Wilson Chandler was on there, and there was somebody else.
Does anyone want... any
well, you want Crawford because he can shoot. J.J. Redick can shoot. You know, so somebody will take it. Brooke Lopez is the other major,
okay,
major guy.
All right, well, that's better. Like, when you talk about Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah,
like,
Melo.
Jamal Crawford's like 39 years,
yeah,
old.
Yeah, he's old, but he can shoot.
He's old as dirt.
So anyway, that used to be that you would click on those and you would – it's such a beating because you have to click each one.
Yes. It drives
to keep going down the list.
It drives me insane. We have to click on the next one, and then like a pop-up.
Look,
it's terrible.
The internet brethren that consists of you and me,
yes,
and everybody else out there fought back on that.
Yeah.
And we said we are not clicking on these articles.
Nope.
So they changed it. And I just noticed today, because of this one that I was just clicking on about ring chasers, that Bleacher Report has changed it so that you no longer have to click through, which is great. It's all listed on one page. You make the one click on,
sure,
the link, and it's all there. But as you scroll down, each scroll to the next player means another back click to get back to where you were.
Yes.
And that is not going to fly with me either.
Yes, when you're done with the article, it's
you have
true.
To click.
You have to click.
If you say it's a 10-person list, you have to click
clicks.
Back 10 times.
Yep.
I am not happy about this.
MSN does this, too. If you ever click on – do you ever go to MSN.com?
Yes.
It's a good homepage. It just kind of gives you a general overview of what's happening. They do that same thing where if you, and they recently started doing it because it didn't used to be like this.
God.
But if you click on something, you know, 15 out, it's 15 clicks, and then you just have to go up to the top and go MSN.com and then scroll back to where you were at.
Yeah, because the MSN will often have the ones where it's like 50 states, like the
yes.
best restaurant in each state.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, God, yeah. I got to click 20 times just to get to Oregon.
I'll tell you this. This is the other one. Nothing gets me to click off a website faster than the paywall.
Like, yes, of course.
You can read the first three.
Not reading it.
The first, like, three sentences, and then,
yep.
like, hey, subscribe. Go to hell.
Not reading.
And
I'm
then,
so with you.
And then what you're talking about, and the one that gets me more than anyone, it got me today, in fact, and it's usually something stupid and insignificant, and it pisses me off. You remember the I'm trying to remember what his name is. He's the big Asian karate guy with like the big giant pecs. He was in the Bruce Lee movies and then the Jean-Claude Van Damme movies. He was like in Bloodsport. If you saw him, you would instantly know who I'm talking about.
He's clearly memorable.
Well, like if
his pecs are, though.
His pecs are. Like the world's just like, look up like Asian karate guy with giant pecs. Like you'll instantly recognize him. He's been in like 1,000 movies as like the evil karate villain. And I saw a list today, and it was like celebrities that have, you won't believe how they've aged, and they had his photo on there.
Bolo Young?
Yes.
This guy?
I think that guy. Yeah. Click on the images, and you'll instantly be like, oh, yeah, that guy.
Oh.
Yeah.
That guy? Who's that guy?
No, this guy right here.
Okay.
That guy.
All right.
Yeah, he's like in...
Never seen him, but that's Bolo Young.
He's like in every 80s and 90s karate movie ever. He fought Bruce Lee.
Is this
going to
now send me a lot of questionable...
I would like to believe
content.
That. Yes, you're going to get a lot of shirtless Asian dudes.
And so you Googled giant pecs.
I saw this thing at the bottom that
we
said...
We think you'll like this.
That said, click here, you won't believe how he's aged. And I was like, well, I haven't seen that guy in like 20 years. I want to know what he looks like now. They said he's 72. And I click on it, and it's just a list of celebrities and how they've aged. And I was like, yo, you got to be kidding me, because you had to click through. I clicked through four of them, and it never got me to the guy I wanted to. They rope you in thinking, I will continue to click because I want to see that one guy.
Right. So you have to have four ads?
Yeah.
Or four
like
different?
Four click-throughs.
I know, but what's on the...
Well, it just kept showing one ad. It would show, like, Sean Connery, and it would give you what Sean Connery looks like today. Which, by the way, is horrific. He looks like hell.
Oh, really?
And after like three celebrities.
That's too bad.
I was like, well, damn it. You roped me in because I wanted to see what he looked like. He better be the first one. You can't bury him at the end. It was a list of like 20 celebrities. And each one you had to click through. It's ridiculous. Put him at the front. That's the reason why I clicked on it. I wanted to see what the old karate guy looked like.
Oh, boy. He is.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's bad.
How old is he?
He's like 80. I want to say he's like 87, 88.
I didn't want to see that.
And that was the first one. I clicked on it. I was like, Sean Connery?
I didn't know he was that old.
Like, what the hell's happening here?
All right. Well, we got sidetracked. We got to go. All right. Coming up next, Kevin Durant. Okay. Are you buying this idea that Kevin Durant's mad at the Warriors? Because he's not. No way.
Maybe.
There's no way.
The report says maybe.
Oh, my God. All right. So that's next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.